morning will come from the New Testament, the book of James, and it will be the first chapter, verses 9 through 12. And they read as follows. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also said the rich man fade away in his ways. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing of his word.
Thank you. that we can come into your presence and seek help in a time of need. Lord, we thank you for this another day, a day that we've never seen, a day that you have made, a day that you have created. Lord, we rejoice and we're so happy to be here. Happy to be in your presence once again. Happy to be able to worship you in the beauty of holiness. Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth, O Lord, that you would center upon our hearts and our minds. Lord, move like never before, Lord. Lord, edify and build up and lift up, O God, in the name of Jesus. Reclaim the backslider. Stir up the lukewarm. Save souls, Lord.
Yes, God.
Lord, allow your word to accomplish what you said it to do. Lord, that we be ever careful to give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. For we pray these and all things in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's message is entitled, Wisdom for the Humble and the High. Wisdom for the Humble and the High. Our text is being taken from the book of John, James, 1st chapter, verse 9 to 12, when we find the following. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as a flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Webster defines a paradox as a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet is perhaps true. Example of this is a statement, giving is receiving. To some, that's a paradox. There's an apparent contradiction there. But when you read it carefully, there's some truth in that. Scriptures contain many paradoxes, telling us that the weak are strong, the empty are full, that the slave is free, that the cursed are blessed, and that the deaf brings life. All statements which first strike the ear as contradictory. There's a contradiction here. How can the slave be free? How can the weak be strong? How are the empty full? Sometimes as folks approach the scriptures and read these seemingly contradictory statements are sometimes confused. But become increasingly true to all of us as we meditate upon them. As we meditate upon statements such as these, and our heart is a heart of openness to prayer and asking God to illuminate and to reveal his sacred truths, God somehow opens his revelation to us and reveals what his word speaks. James concerned that his precious readers not succumb to instability, resorted to paradoxes to convey stabilizing wisdom. I want you to know this morning that stabilizing wisdom, that wisdom can have a stabilizing impact upon you.
Amen.
First, a brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position.
Yes.
The paradox of the rich and poor. However, there is a second paradox in this statement. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position shows a paradox of the rich / poor. For those of us who feel out of sync at times with the prevailing culture, and especially to those suffering for their faith socially and economically,
take flowers in the wisdom taken in these paradoxes. Who are the love? Context demands that we understand them as poverty-stricken Jewish Christians who were poor because of their faith. And because they were economically low, they were low in the eyes of the world, and no doubt in most instances low in their very own eyes. Their poverty produced a lowliness of mind. Are you following me? But James paradoxically says that such a person ought to take pride in his high position.
Well,
James' reasoning for this is implicit in the words of this verse. The man is a brother. He is part of God's family, one of God's children. Now, if we are children of God, we are heirs of God, which makes us joint heirs with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This lowly brother is in fellowship with God. Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. If this man, a lowly man, could but grab these stupendous realities and hang on to them, he would realize his height in God. The low are truly brought high.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The lowly must not only grasp this, but must also see that a mighty reversal is coming.
Yes.
A reversal is coming in which the low will be made high and the high brought low.
Yes. Yes.
James is so convinced, so sure of this grand reversal, so sure that the low will still become high, that he encouraged the humble brother, listen to this, to take pride.
Take pride.
And it literally, to boast in this height.
Well.
Amen. To boast in this height.
Yes.
In other words, to boast in the reality of who he is in Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
This is a joyous boasting. So Paul uses the same words in Romans chapter 5 and 2. Speaking of rejoicing in the hope of glory. And in chapter 5, verse 11, to refer to rejoicing in reconciliation. Here James orders the lowly, listen to this, to paradoxically and cheerfully boast in their height. In other words, it don't look like you're high. You may be low, don't look like you're high. But hold on a minute. If you would, just for a moment, but if you would take your mind off of your meager means, take your mind off of what you don't have, get your mind off of what's not in your bank account, get your mind off of what you're not driving, and consider the fact of who you are in Christ and what you truly have by virtue of your divine connection, by virtue of your divine position, you would lift your voice in praise and realize that you've never had it so good. Why does this great exhortation come to the poor man? Why does this great exhortation come to those who are lowly? It's not simply that he is economically poor, but that his poverty, listen to this, has produced in him a lowliness of spirit which keeps him open to the things of God.
Amen.
It keeps you looking to the source of all freedom,
yeah,
of all blessing, the source of all that is priceless and everlasting.
Yeah.
I mean, it keeps you focused in such a way that you're not disillusioned by the stuff of the world.
All right.
See, we can become disillusioned by stuff.
That's right.
We can become disillusioned by position. We can become disillusioned by things.
Yeah.
We can become disillusioned by a status that you might temporarily hold. That disillusion takes you off of the necessity and the brokenness and the dependence that we ought to have always on God.
All right.
Jesus' very own his public ministry were a quotation from Isaiah, the 61st chapter, in the first verse. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach good news to who? The poor. He came to the poor to preach good news to the poor, that even though you might be low, there's a height in God that you are, that you are at. Why? Because you're not disillusioned by the stuff of the rich. Encourage. He brought encouragement. Jesus brought the promise of the kingdom of God right where they are. This is why the incarnation, listen to this, came through Mary. For as she affirmed her magnificence, he was been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Luke quotes the first Beatitudes this way: blessed are you who are poor, for listen to this, yours is the kingdom of God. See this, their economic poverty inclined them to spiritual poverty. And as Matthew made it clear in his record of the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. James did not pity this poor brother or encourage their circumstances. Rather, he saw them as, listen to this, spiritually advantaged. In other words, they were spiritually advantaged because they had a dependency upon God that the rich did not.
That's right.
In other words, they looked forward to the manna from heaven. Every day the manna came. You didn't know how it was going to come, but you know it was going to come. You didn't know when it was going to come, but you know who was going to bring it. You knew that God would somehow provide. God would somehow give you what you needed to get through that day, nothing more and nothing less. He always gives us right what we want when we need it, not before, not after. This shows the poverty and dependence upon our hearts, upon God. As long as God would show up with the manna, God would give us a dependency upon him that would enable us to be humble in spirit. Bless God, he didn't give us enough to store it up in a warehouse somewhere. Because had he did that, we would lose our dependency upon him. Some of us wouldn't pray anymore. Some of us wouldn't come to church anymore. If God gave us more than enough all the time, there would not be a dependency upon him the way we have it today. A lot of folks stayed home this morning because they thought it was going to snow. But I want you to know that God looks after us. Hallelujah. God held back the snow. Snow ain't gonna come till later on today, this afternoon. God held that back. Here is the wisdom for Christians of every age, all of whom live in a world with equities, prosperities with happiness, or happiness with God's blessing on the humble. The lowly are in the midst of hard times. Listen to this. But are tempted to doubt. See, when you're in a place where you're lowly, you're oftentimes tempted to doubt. Where are you, God? When are you going to show up? Where's the blessing that you promised me? No Christian has ever been oppressed either economically or socially or both, has not at some time doubted. Those who believe Christian today, material wealth lures the possessor to focus on one's attention on things. Jesus warned against the deceitfulness of wealth when straggling spiritual life. The greater one's possessors, the greater the likelihood of delusion. The more you have, the more we are tempted to place our trust in things. The more we are giving, the more we want. And the less we receive, the more dependent we have on the grace of God, because we know that the grace of God is a necessary essential for living a prosperous Christian life. So God, I might not have all that the world offers. I may not have the silver and gold. I may not have the wealth, but I have Jesus. what we see in people's lives suggests that riches are the potential danger in spiritual life. You become soft. You become soft. You become dependent upon the comfort that the delusion presents itself through stuff. If I just got a better house, if I just got a better car, if I just got a better this. And see, when you get the better that and the better this and the better the other, you become soft, you become complacent, you become, look what I've got. Look at what God has given me. And that softness becomes a law. It lulls you into a place of complacency, a place of false security, a place of false serenity. To the, you come to a place where you no longer hunger for Him the way you did when you struggled. Realizing this, James' paradox of the poor and the rich makes good sense. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. The last part can be rendered lowliness. And it's the same word just used to describe the position of the poor. Calvin has it right. He tells them to glory in their lowliness, their smallness, to restrain these lofty motives that swell out of prosperity. That's why you have so many folks today looking at prosperity religion. They look at prosperity religion as a way that will suffice and feed their spiritual appetite, but it never does. Prosperity for things never feed your spiritual appetite. It's a deception to get you to be lulled into a place of false security. False security. James crowns this discussion with the Beatitude, promising eternal life. Blessed is the man who proceeds or preserves under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. That's why the Bible says, the discussion came to Jesus, the rich man comes to Jesus and says, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, sell all you have and give it to the poor. The Bible said that the rich young man walked away in frustration because he wasn't willing to give nothing away. He knew that his God and his security was in his bank account. He knew that his security and his happiness and his spiritual stability laid in his excess. Jesus says it is harder for a man to enter the kingdom of heaven, is easier than a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because his dependence is on the thing that he has and not on God. I want you to know this today, that God, that man's extremity is God's opportunity. God can only be God when you want him to be, when you need him to be. God don't come just because you want him. He comes when you need him. He comes when you need him the most, at a time when you're the most weakest, at the time when you're the most dependent, at the time when you are the most broken. That's when God shows up and brings you strength from on high, a strength that you can't depend upon on other things. Why? Because it's only God. It's only then when you realize it was God all the time. See, when you got stuff propping you up, when you got people propping you up, when you got things propping you up, God can't show up. God will only show up when you're at your point of depression. When you're at your greatest point of need, that's when he shows up. When you cry, Abba, Father, Lord, I may not have two nickels to press together, but all I have is what I need in you. I know that somehow you're going to show up right at the hour I need you the most and not before. Therefore, I have a testimony. Therefore, I'm brought high. Therefore, I'm exalted because I'm blessed for who I am in you. I don't have to go around looking for things that I desire. Because if I got Jesus, I'm holding on to the anchor. The anchor that sustains me. The anchor that keeps me. The anchor that grounds me. The anchor that brings stability. The anchor that keeps me real. And that's what we need today. We need to be real in Jesus. And we need to call it like it is and see it the way it has to be. That all brings you into that thing.
Yes.
You just say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
That you don't get the big head.
Yes.
Yes. See, when you get the big head, you think, hey, this is all me. Look what I did. I earned this. I'm deserving of this. But when you have gone through the trials, you've come through the tribulation, you've come through the heartaches and the disappointments, and when God opens up a door, you just thank you, Jesus. Let me walk through the door, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. You heard my cry. You heard my prayer. Lord, you listened to me all this time, and now I'm ready to walk through it because I'm qualified now because I've been through something. See, whenever you aspire for something experience. Are you experienced for this? What have you done to qualify you for this? It's the same in the kingdom of God. What have you been through? What qualifies you to be here? How can I trust you with this when you have no experience, when you're not qualified? How can you? So when God is preparing you, you're going through it. When you realize you're being tested, just hold on for the ride. It gets bumpy. You ever been on a roller coaster? The roller coaster go up and down, in and around, back and forth. And you just know you're not going to fall off. So you just enjoy it if you can. Enjoy the ride. Huh? See, the reason why you're blessed because you're lowly, because you're not deceived by the events and the stuff.
Yeah.
Your dependence is upon God in such a way that every step I take, every move I make is ordered of the Lord.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You ever talk to people about, I used to be this way. I didn't want Jesus to come back because I wanted to get my driver's license. I was 16 years old and I would go to church and they would talk about he's coming back soon, he's coming back soon. I pray, Lord, don't come back, not until I get my driver's license. Then he had women. Lord, don't come back till I get married. They still get married. But the point is that when your eyes is on God, when you're still loading, you're dependent on him for your meager survival. When you're dependent on him for every blessing, every good and every perfect gift come from God. When you depend upon him and he brings you to a place where you can walk into that thing, you can say without a doubt you're qualified. You've been through the four hard knocks. You've been tempted, you've been tried. You've been through something. Somebody said, I've been talked about, I've been scorned, and sore, I've been born. But that qualifies you to a place in God that you haven't been yet. It's when you're able to take all of that and thank God for it. Understand that the wisdom that comes out of that is making you different. It's transforming you right before the people you're before. See, transformation don't take place in the dark. Transformation takes forth in the light. Butterflies, they come out of their cocoon in the light. Bless God, they might have been a caterpillar, but look at them now. They're ready to fly with the beautiful colors and all of that they have, and now we admire them because they've been through something.
That's right.
So when you're low, when you're brought low, thank God for who you are and say, Lord, I don't know when I'm coming out of this, but I know sooner or later. Come on now, sooner or later, I'm gonna enjoy the ride. I'm not gonna complain. You ever pray, Lord, when I get to my, when you get to your kingdom, remember me.
Yeah.
There are folks who want you to remember them when you get to yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When God makes you the head, when God promotes you, there's some people, that's going to be riding on your coattails. Guess why? Because you have been strong enough to carry them on your back. You've carried them in your prayers. You've encouraged them when you needed encouragement. Amen. You blessed them when you needed a blessing. And guess what? Now that God has brought you to a place of blessing, a place of prosperity, now you can bless others. That's why the paradox that James is talking about has such a great impact on the people of God. Because he says, God has a place for you. Remember who you are in Jesus. You're a royal priesthood. You're chosen. You're called out. But in order for you to be appreciated, you have to go through this time. So that when you step into this promotion, when you step into this new place, you're qualified. You've been through something. You have a testimony to the glory of God. Stand on your feet. I used to read the Beatitudes and wonder, Lord, what do you mean? Blessed are the poor at heart. Blessed are those who are persecuted. He said, pray for them who despitefully use you. This ain't God. But the more I understood the character of Jesus, the more I understood the life and the walk of Jesus, the better I'm able to understand what it's all about. Jesus was the humblest thing walking. He was born and reared in obscurity. Poor, talk about poor in spirit. Talk about poor in resources, poor in all of that stuff. He didn't come that way. But he's highly exalted. There's no name upon heaven and earth whereby men must be saved, but in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he indeed is Lord. He's coming back someday. Not as a baby in the manger. He's going to sit on the throne where he rightfully belongs to judge the quick and the dead. The righteous and the unrighteous. Understand, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What God has for you will always be yours. Listen to this. If you've been praying and seeking that change, God has not held back. Could it be that you're in preparation? Could it be that he's setting you up? And in the meantime, giving you favor. See, those folks that you think are against you, God is setting you up and giving you favor. They don't know why they favor you. But it's a Christ in you that they see that they don't see. You can see it but don't see it. You can see it and don't know what it is. Folk can bless you and give you favor. Don't know why they bless you. Don't know why you've gotten favor. Don't know why you've been selected. But God for you, even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trials, in the midst of
thing. You only get that when your mind is in Christ. You only get Christ when you ask for Him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Same thing with prayer. A lot of times folks don't pray because they don't feel qualified. They don't feel righteous enough. I don't know the words. I don't know how to do it. I'll practice. When I get ready and when I get right, I won't pray. He said, just
pray.
Same principle applies to coming to Jesus. Come to Him the way you are. Weary, worn, and broken.
Yes, oh God.
Let Him rebuild your life.
Yes.
Let Him give you joy.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
That the world seems to have taken away from you. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you need Jesus Christ, you need to be saved, you need salvation today, I want to offer you a life that's abundant.
Yes, God.
Jesus said, I came to bring you life.
Yes.
And to bring it to you abundantly.
Yes, God.
Life outside of Christ is not a life of abundance.
Yes.
But it's talking about the quality of your life,
yes,
not
God.
Stuff.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Is there one? If you need prayer today, I want you to know that the altar is open. The prayer of the righteous availeth much.
Right now, God.
Oh.
Yes, God.